podcast replay is brought to you by Cutter's Edge Total Landscape Solutions. With decades of experience here in South Florida, cuttersedge.com provides fantastic results. Call 954-472-0622.
Good morning, one and all. Yes, sir. How the hell are you doing? Because you got to be doing great right now if you're a Panthers fan. Feeling it. You're roaring like a Panther. It's a beautiful thing. Lions aren't the only ones. Panthers are roaring too, baby. Love it. Man, that torch was passed last night, huh? This is a moment we all were waiting for. At least those of us that give a shit about hockey, of course. Those of you that don't, screw you. I don't care. Anyway, so it's been awesome. This is something, and I'm so happy for Viola and Sifu because it takes great ownership. It takes commitment, and I want you to remember that word, that commitment word, because when you have conviction, when you're committed, and when you believe in what you're doing, you stay with it, you fight through the adversity, and you come out on top. Remember that. So that's what Viola and Sifu did. From the get-go, they took over this team. They brought stability. They spent money. They kept their stars. They traded for stars. They made the toughest decisions that had to be made, whether it's firing your GM or coaches or whatever it is that you had to do, or trade good players, very good players, for franchise players. The Bob thing did not work out early on. And it's working out beautifully now, right? This is exactly, if it ends with a cup, then that's exactly what you wanted, you know? And I'm not saying it is, because we've got Boston or Toronto next. By the way, we're all pulling for Toronto tonight. Boston is up 3-1. So please watch the game tonight. And if you can visit a little old lady in Hialeah with a little Santeria, how much is that doggy in the window? Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, so if you can, then do whatever it takes to help the Toronto Maple Leafs win today. Okay? Whatever it takes. We need that series to get extended. That way the Panthers can sit back and relax and let Boston get beat up a little bit more. But that was beautiful yesterday. Barkov getting the insurance goal at 3-1. And then to win that game 6-1 and just to, like, shut down that series. Torch passed. Verhaeghe, Barkov, each with two goals. Tkachuk with a couple of assists. Bob had 31 saves. It was a long time coming type of moments. And by the way, they have gotten nowhere yet. It's only the first round of the playoffs. But this first round, it's not the first round. It's the opponent. And you first, in order for you to win the Stanley Cup, you first have to be the best team in the state. Because the team in the state has won the Stanley Cup. And they're the marquee team in the NHL. They're one of a couple. And in order for you to become that, you need to be better than them. And that's exactly what's been developing. And to fight through the adversity of losing the last two series against them. And you just kind of knew this year that, I don't know, bro. I think the torch has passed. I think we're seeing a better team with the Panthers and the Lightning this year. You kind of were saying that all season. And it came to fruition last night. And that was just, man, it was awesome. It was awesome, dude. That was so cool. I'm so happy for them. Now, it's one of those where you can't let your guard down. While you accomplish an incredible feat, which is putting Tampa Bay in your rearview mirror, you got a lot of hockey left to get to the Stanley Cup. You got 12 more wins to get that cup. So there's a long way to go. I hope there isn't any kind of an emotional letdown, because this has been such a tough mountain to climb. I don't believe so, This team is loaded. It's got all kinds of stars, and this isn't manufactured. This is real. This is real. The Panthers are the best franchise in town. They are the best team in town. Okay, we know that the Heat is the best franchise in the last quarter century. That's not even up for debate or a conversation or anything whatsoever. But the last 2 years, you know how the torch has been passed last night from Tampa to Florida, now in the state of Florida? The torch has been passed, or officially the last 2 years, from the Miami Heat to the Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers are run much better than the Miami Heat. They're a better franchise than the Miami Heat, and they're a better team than the Miami Heat. And they're real, not fluky, like the Miami Heat has become lately. So they really live on a great coach, pretty much, and one star. Star's no longer even a star anymore. He's just broken down now. So the changing of the guard is happening in many different ways. Okay? It happened between Tampa and Florida, and it happened between the Heat and the Panthers. The best team in South Florida lives in Sunrise. Okay? No longer does it live on Biscayne Boulevard. They're number two and falling, because Inter Miami is the one that's working on number two, because Inter Miami has a way better chance of winning a title than the Miami Heat do. So the Miami Heat are going from one to two and slipping to three. So they need to pick it up a little bit there. That's what I would say. But congratulations to the Panthers. They have earned it. They are doing it. They are contributing back to our city with what they built over at War Memorial. So they are reinvesting in our town, which is just absolutely amazing. So mad props to the Florida Panthers and to their ownership. Okay. And as I've said many, many times, we have a sorry-ass baseball team with a sorry-ass owner. And they suck because they're not willing to make any commitments. So, you know, congratulations to the Panthers. That is, man, that is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now we await Boston and Toronto. We'll see what happens there. What do we got here? I see DF is in the house, number one. Ariel Saravia. Let's go, Panthers. We're going to take the Stanley Cup to Sunrise. I hope so, man. Steve Chapman in. Steven Gonzalez. How about those Panthers? I'm glad they returned the favor, getting beat 6-3. Came back 6-1. Yep, I'm with you there. Jamie Zorria out in San Jose, reminding everybody to smash the like button, and hopes that everybody has a good week. Jay Gelfin is in the house, looking forward to Lord Stanley's Cup coming to South Florida, he says. Kyle Cockrell, Joseph, count on the Cats. Great closeout. Yes, it was. Jeremy, good morning, Big O. It's time for the Heat to get ready for the 2024 offseason by any means necessary. Who are the players that are likely that won't be back for the team? We'll have plenty of time to get into that. There's no reason to talk about that right now. And Jeremy, here's what I'll tell you about the offseason for the Miami Heat. Stop it already. That's what I'll tell you about the Miami Heat offseasons from now on. Stop it already. Stop building me up for off seasons that don't happen. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to be realistic. They ain't got shit to trade. So go ahead and be delusional all you want. They're not getting a star. No stars coming here to carry Jimmy Butler's sorry ass for an entire regular season. Are we clear on that? Are we clear on that? Are we crystal clear on that? No superstar is coming here to South Florida to play with Jimmy Butler. None. Nada. Nay. And they have nothing to trade. So please, with the Heat offseason already. It's always the same shit lately. They talk a lot, but because they've mismanaged everything in the last 10 years, they have nothing to trade. And everybody can offer better deals. So what the Heat need to do is what I said. They need to shut the hell up. They need to kind of reset over the next 2 years. Don't re-sign Butler. Deal with whatever you have to deal with. Get rid of him in 2 years. Keep your picks. Stop trading picks. Get fluid. Clean up cap space. And just get by and develop players for the next 2 years. You're not going to be very good, but it doesn't matter. You need to reset completely. You keep putting Band-Aids and you keep putting lipstick on a pig, and then you keep asking Eric Spoelstra to create miracles out of nothing whatsoever. And enough already. Look, here's what happened with the Heat. Are you ready? Anybody that tells you anything different is either being a homer or really they don't want to really, I don't know, they can't see what's going on. The Celtics kicked Miami's ass in the first half of the first game. Go watch it. They trashed them. They said, this team ain't shit. They can't hang with us. And in the second half, they got bored and let them in a little bit. And then they were bored in the second game. And before they knew it, they were in a hole that they couldn't get out of because the Heat came out firing and they hit everything, which happens to every NBA team, even sorry ones, once or twice a season. Okay, so they shot lights out and they got lucky and won game two. It's over. Celtics woke up and said, you see what happened? Coach probably reminded him, look, it started in game one. You guys didn't take the second half serious. Brown, Tatum, you killed them in the first half and then you coasted. And they made even a little run. Not that they threatened us in the first game, but you allowed them to actually have some life. And then in the second game, you didn't take them serious, and then that's it. Third game, they took them serious and kicked their ass, and then they came out yesterday and kicked their ass again, and they'll kick their ass again tomorrow. But I get it, dude. We have to do things with shtick now. And so you'll have your radio and your podcast host, and then they'll try to build something up. That's not even there. Because there's a certain section of you that can't handle the truth. The Heat has struggled to score all season long. So what's the shocker now? They're missing Jimmy. They're missing Rozier. They're missing guys. Even with them, they would lose this series. Even with a healthy Jimmy Butler, they would lose this series. Maybe not 4-1 like they're going to lose tomorrow, but they would lose this series. But you go ahead and lie to yourself. You've milked this as much as it can possibly be milked. Okay? So you got to let it go already. The reality is this team is not very good. That's all it is. And they have no business being on the court with the Celtics. And I know the Celtics aren't mentally the toughest team in the world and all of that. But the Heat has no firepower. And they game two was just a game that just the sun shines on every dog's ass every once in a while. And it shined right on the Heat for that moment. And after that, it's over. It's over. That's it. You know, but if you want to spin it, however you want to spin it, go ahead and lie to yourselves and all that stuff. Okay. Sean, let's give the Panthers what they deserve. A victory cigar. That is beautiful. Big O, Eric Nordstrom says, just bought $500 of Bitcoin on the dip. You're a freaking stud. Let me address that really quick. Bitcoin right now is on a beautiful dip. I think it's at 61,000 right now. It's funny because I keep saying actually 60,657. Okay. You have 7 straight green months. So this looks like it's going to be the first red month, which is kind of about time that it's happened. Remember I told you about the Hong Kong ETF starting. And remember I told you that they aren't as powerful as the U.S. ones. So yesterday they opened up, or overnight, because it's nighttime there, daytime here now. They had 112 million of flow in the first day. It's not much. U.S. had 4.6 billion. 112 million to 4.6 billion. Quite a difference. So they, the Australian ETFs will kick in, the Japan ETFs will kick in, and don't like panic throughout all of this, because this is the same stuff that happened when it was at 16,000 and when it was trying to break 20 and when it was trying to break 24. And we've been in a pattern, a sideway pattern for 2 months. And we've done this in the past. And what it is an accumulation phase. If you're smart, just like, who's the one that just did it right now and said they just did it? Ah, God, who said they just bought 500 bucks of Bitcoin, you stud? Eric Nordstrom. Eric gets it. You know, this is the buying zone again now. You're at the 59, 60, 61 area, 62 area. This is the buying zone of this dip, you know? And so you got to hang in there, because the next bump goes to 90, 95, 100. And you don't want to sell because you panicked and you didn't have patience. And if you're like me and you've been through this bear run for, you know, a couple of years, and now it's the beginning of the bull run, it's not the time to panic now. This is the time you stay strong and you buy more. Okay, not a financial advisor, but just like Eric, I did the same thing this morning. So, you know, I am not flustered. I wasn't flustered at 16,000. I wasn't flustered at 25, at 30, at 35, at 40, at 45, at 50, at 55, and I ain't flustered at 60. Okay? No. In fact, I have more conviction than ever. MicroStrategy. Michael Saylor is smarter and richer than I'll ever be in my life. In fact, I'll never be rich. Even when Bitcoin goes to hell, you know, all the way to a million, 2 million, it won't make me rich, because I won't hold that much Bitcoin. But the people that do have the power, the people that do have the money, the people that do have the intelligence, like a Michael Saylor, he bought 122 Bitcoins yesterday for $7.8 million. So all you got to do is look at the people that are more powerful, more rich, way more rich, because most of us aren't, and hell of a lot more intelligent in investing. And all they're doing is continuing to amass Bitcoin. So, Eric, you're a stud. You get it. And all I'm saying is, I'm not a financial advisor, but stay strong, don't get flustered, and continue to buy, because in the end, you're the one that's going to be laughing last. So there you go. All right. And I'm sure the Hong Kong ETFs are going to pick up along the way, and they'll get, and more flow will come in. This might be here the last shakeout. I've been waiting for the last shakeout. This might be the last shakeout. And then we explode and we go to new heights. Adam Pinkser, thank you, sir. Remember, you can make a donation through Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show, Cash App or Venmo. It's at Alanis Morissette coming to Jacksonville Saturday, September 21st. I love Alanis. That Jagged Little Pill album is one great, great album. Adam, thank you for the love on Venmo. Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. And remember, you can make a Bitcoin donation. Today's a great day to make a Bitcoin donation to the show because there's a sweet-ass dip, man. It says, good morning, O. Been off the grid a bit. I got married and went on a great honeymoon. Congratulations, my brother. Awesome. I also had the Heat and Panthers on the split screen last night. After about a quarter and a half of the Heat, I couldn't take it anymore and put the Panthers on the full screen. Great series win. Yeah, man. Listen, dude, the Heat have been fantastic this year considering, you know, your star didn't give a shit about the regular season and set you up for failure. But overall, they got the most that they can get out of them, you know, because when your star doesn't want to try, and that's the shit that's got to end for the Miami Heat. That stuff has got to end for the Miami Heat. You know, they have got to turn that around and get to a point where you're actually giving a shit about what you're doing and representing your fan base the right way. You know, so I'm hoping that the Heat kind of fix this whole Butler issue, because you can't keep going like this where you're not trying, you know. Miami Breaker 305, thank you for the love on the super chat. It says, don't forget to hit that like button. Let's go, Panthers. That's right. Hit that like button. Hit the notification bell. That way you know when we go live. A-Rod, thank you for the love on the super chat, my brother. Again, Big O, you tell it like it is. You just drop the mic. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Because really, if you look at it, that's what went on in the Celtics Heat series so far. Celtics kicked Miami's ass in the first half of the first game. They got bored in the second half. Watch it. Tatum and what's it called? White, right? No, not White. What's this guy's name? Brown. They tore it up and then coasted in the second half. And they said, this team ain't shit. And they fell asleep in the second game. And after that, that woke them up. It's over. They figured it out. They go, we can't give these guys any breathing room. We got to crush them right from the get-go. And that's what they've done. You know, it's the truth, unfortunately. Anybody that tells you anything different, they're just dancing around the reality. That's all. You know, the Heat organization is a great organization. It's kind of lost its way lately. And they need to get back on track again. And it's funny because the Jimmy Butler era has been fantastic, but it's also been disastrous to a certain, because you had success, but you destroyed the culture. You can't have the two regular seasons you've had under Jimmy. You can't. That's not Heat basketball. So, Frankie says, my boy Barkov with the player of the match. I remember you criticizing Barkov, but I never stopped. How did I criticize Barkov? I said Barkov can't be your number one player. He's a goober. I didn't say he wasn't a great player. I said him and Huberto were goobers. They're too nice. It's like Bam. Bam challenging his teammates. That was a really cute story by Chris Haynes yesterday. Well, Bam challenged his teammates. Yeah, that's all well and good. He's a super role player. He's not a superstar. The offense doesn't run through him. He doesn't carry you offensively. So, how was that message sent? Oh, wow, that really carried. That resonated through the locker room. You know, Barkov is a fantastic player, as I've always said. But what I've always said is he can't be your number one. You need a Kachuk to be your number one. you need a Jimmy Butler, who's really a number two, but on this team, he has to be a number one. Has to be somebody that has some cojones, that can rattle some cages, that can get people riled up. That was my criticism of Barkov, Frankie. So when you say something, make sure it's accurate. Because I never said Barkov was a bad player. I said he's a top 20 player. What I said is he cannot be the leader of your franchise. And guess what? I stand by that to this day. Because he's a goober. That's why. So he can't be, just like Bam can't be, your leader. Bam's a super role player. Barkov is a hell of a player, but he's a quiet star. So he can't be the guy that leads the locker room. He can't be the guy that gets in someone else's face and says, yo, what the hell are you doing? You got to pick it up. So that was my problem with the Huberto Barkov situation. And I said, you got to trade one of the two, and it has to be Huberto. Because Barkov is a hell of a player, just not a hell of a leader. There. That was my criticism of Barkov. And by the way, it stands to this day. If Barkov is your number one player in your locker room, you will go nowhere. You will go nowhere. But if you don't have a Tkachuk, if you don't have a Verhaeghe, if you don't have the guys that play with fire constantly, like we saw first emotion out of Barkov for the first time in his entire career last night. So that was the criticism, Frankie. It had nothing to do with his play. It had to do with his personality, because he's not that guy, just like Bam isn't that guy either. I was laughing my ass off last night with the Chris Haynes report. I'm like, yo, Chris, I get it. It's news. But trust me, brother, that ain't going to get anywhere. Bam isn't the leader on a team. He leads by example as a role player, a super role player. He sets that example that he works hard and all that. But the offense doesn't run through Bam. And he's not the face of your franchise. So that was the criticism, my brother. So make sure when you repeat something I say, you can go back. It's all on video. All of it is on video and audio. I know what I said. Did I not say that, Sean? 100 times over. 100 times over. Should be easy to find. I think the word goober was mentioned many times. Because he's a goober. Ahoo, ahoo, ahoo. Miami Breaker, thank you for the love and the super chat. Tipping the bartender who provides the best crypto inside, not a financial advisor. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, if you could sign one street free agent for the Fins, who would it be? I don't know. I don't know who's available. I don't mind the Odell one. I don't mind, actually. I kind of like the idea of it. You know what I mean? I'm certainly not going to pick a big receiver because that's not what they ever want. And by the way, he won't use them anyways. I think one day when he finds a big, fast receiver, he might use him. So it'll be fun to see what Mike McDaniel does with Jonnu Smith. See if he does use him. David Ferronis, by the way, is set to join us here at 10:30. Manny Navarro will join us at 11. Big O, Tkachuk, however you spell his name, facts, sponsored. Yes, I agree with you. Big O, the funniest meme yesterday was Jokic dressed as Gru, and the Lakers are the minions. Bam is very clumsy, and no one fears him. Definitely a role player. Heat about to be on vacation with Steph, LeBron, and KD. Yeah, but I mean... it's all right if the Heat are on vacation, dude. They're not that good, you know? Mike No Go Zones, loving the Panthers. Ray says, the more delusional Heat fans are, the ones they think the Heat will trade for LeBron. Yeah. Oh, Kala Joe, good morning. I'm loving the dip and just bought 3,500 loading up. Smart, bro. I wish I had 3,500 to invest in Bitcoin. That is a good move, Ocala Joe. That's a great move. Let's see. Big O, I can't sit here and talk shit about the Heat. They've given me amazing run for 5 years. You can't. No, you can't be pissed at. You can't be pissed at the results of what you've gotten the last 5 years. Okay? It's really more about the front office and their failures. Spo has maxed out what he can from them. Can't do any more than what Spo's done, dude. It's not Spo's thing. It's just they have mismanaged a lot in the front office. And Spo has done a beautiful job of masking everything and maximizing it. And he can only do so much. You know? So, all right, let's get to it. Let's get to our Welt and Rayom. I know right now Jeff Welt and Daniel Rayom, they're loading up on some Bitcoin right now. Because this is a sweet-ass dip for altcoins. It's been a sweet-ass dip. I know they're loading up right now. But you can visit Welt and Rayom if you have some issues. You need the right lawyers, whether it's bankruptcy, homeowner property damage, condo damage, criminal defense, business owner claims, personal injury, commercial litigation. They do it all. They're in Hollywood. They got beautiful offices there. 954-966-4646. Tell them that Big O sent you. I promise you they're going to take care of you. And, of course, the consultation's free. 954-966-4646. Let's get to them. David Faronis and our Welt and Rayom Miami Dolphins report.
All rise, football fans, as the Welt and Rayom Miami Dolphins report with David Faronis is in session.
Welt and Rayom has more than 62 years of litigation experience handling insurance disputes. They are committed to resolving even the toughest insurance claims quickly. Call them for a free consultation. 954-966-4646. Here's Miami Dolphins insider, David Faronis.
Right, all right. How you feeling, my man? You feeling good?
Feeling good. Yeah, another week and got through this draft. Tried to get some sleep after that. Reported on a lot of draft picks. Finally, 7 draft picks after a couple of 4-pick drafts the last couple of years. So I actually got to cover a first-round pick this year and then a bunch of undrafted free agents, which that, those were a little bit less than the last couple of years. But still, now feeling refreshed again.
Grades are silly overall because, of course, you've really got to wait a couple of years. But they want us to always.
You're not going to ask me that.
Right. What's your thoughts on the draft overall?
Yeah, first, I'll start with the first-round pick. At first, I didn't love it, but then I came around to really liking Chop Robinson. The more I looked into him and his pass rush win rate, his effects on the quarterback. Patrick Paul, then in the second round, I mean, I was here on this show on Friday, and actually he was my offensive pick as a prediction. You asked for one name and one name only, and the first one I gave you was Braden Fisk.
We're fence straddling here, bro. We don't fence straddle on this show. We don't allow people to fence straddle on this show.
So then I gave you an offensive pick as a bonus, and then I ended up nailing it with the tackle out of Houston, who will be a developmental piece. But right now you have your starting tackles. You know you probably will have games where Teron Armstead will miss, but you already have that reserve veteran tackle. But then after that, if this is Teron Armstead's last year, if this is Kendall Lamb's last year, then Butch Berry can really take this guy and then give him that second season in the system, which is always key for these young offensive linemen. So I think they already saw a lot of improvement from him. His going into his senior year, how he just finished up his college career at Houston. And he's a great kid that I think will be very coachable, very energetic, very enthusiastic, and really wants to be a Dolphin. So I think he's going to really give it his all to make sure he continues to develop. And then I think they got a lot of good value picks on day 3. So you end up trading into that fourth round, Jalen Wright. They get another speedy running back. So it was interesting that you go ahead and do the same, grab another one when you already are kind of loaded at that position. But now if Raheem Mostert is hampered by injury, if Devon Achane misses time, if one of those is out, then you still have two whenever. So you don't have to change up your offense too much. So from that standpoint, I do like it, even though if on the surface you might say, they already have that, they can do something else, they can grab an interior offensive line, but you're also into day three of the draft.
That was my explanation to your partner, Chris Perkins.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, because he was complaining about it, and I explained to him that that's kind of – there's no more bell cows, dude.
Right,
you know? It's over, and it was more about – when you get to Chris Brooks and Jeff Wilson, he has to change the offense. So last year, both those guys were banged up. Now, if you have Jalen Wright, now the offense never changes because now you have three guys with the exact same skill set. So I thought he's hard-headed, bro. This is I'm talking about McDaniel.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Perk, which
I'm talking about his style,
right, man.
Power backs, because Perk and the rest of us are, you know, we're tuned in a different way. We want a big receiver. This guy doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care about big receivers.
Yeah,
the guys drafted, the guys undrafted, they were all small too.
Right,
it's amazing. He does not give a shit what we think, and just because we think traditionally, hey, go get him a big receiver. In his eyes, the big receiver is Jonnu Smith, because right, he's the one that can run, actually. So he got a fast tight end, and that's his big target. Outside of that, all the other receivers are all small. Even all the slot receivers he got yesterday and the last 2 days in street free agency, he does things his way, dude. And so when they did the Jalen Wright thing, this is about him having his offense for four quarters. That's it. That's all it is.
Right. That's clearly the running back that he likes. And I kind of figured the Dolphins would get into either the third or fourth round. So I wasn't sure how it would be. I know a lot of times I was on this program and telling you, oh, I like the trade down scenario in the first round. So you add a third rounder that way, and then you still find some good value later in the first round. But they ended up doing it with the flexibility they have from the comp picks in 2025, from losing Christian Wilkins, from losing Rob Hunt in this year's free agency. You have some extra third rounders. You send one to it was Philadelphia, right?
They send theirs because they can't trade the
compensatory. Right. Yeah, you can't trade your own. Chris Greer explained to us later, which I found interesting because I thought that what the Dolphins had from the 49ers when they had the Channing Tindall draft pick, that one was a comp pick. So I still have to look back into all that, but into how the 49ers ended up with sending theirs to the Dolphins when that trade happened previously. But anyway.
Oh, comp pick?
Well, yeah, because remember, Channing Tindall was 102.
It can be done after when you're already drafting. That's when it can, but you cannot trade your compensatory pick now at this point. You have to wait till you're in the draft, and then you can make those trades.
The same pick can still be switched all over later. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. When the draft rolls around at that time, when the new calendar year rolls around next year, that's when I think you can trade them. But before, you can't. You can't trade your compensatory picks because they're not officially awarded yet, because they're not slotted yet.
Right.
So next year, once the season's done and they're slotted, then I think that's how it goes. Don't you know, gun to head or none, but
yeah.
There's a point where they become free for you to trade, and I believe it's around draft time.
Yeah. So, no, I myself was still going to go back and look into all those rules to make sure for future reporting, but yeah. So right, and it would make sense because you don't have it yet. Yeah, those get announced later. So they just have to go through the whole free agency, make sure they don't add another pick add another free agent that ends up canceling out one of the ones that they are slotted to get. But the point is, they did know they had that flexibility because they know they have two coming from losing those two guys.
Right. Yeah. So, but overall, what'd you think? Because to me, I like the draft a lot. It's hard to give it a grade. You know, I'll screw around with it, have some fun and say A-, but it made a lot of sense to me, the draft. You got a couple of pass rushers in Robinson and Kamara. You got a future offensive lineman because obviously Teron and Lamb are done next year. So now you've got Keon and Patrick opposite of Jackson. So you're planning ahead of time. Jalen Wright, again, this is your offense. This is what you want to run. Okay, I get it now. You want to run the same kind of backs? Okay, the other two are banged up. Now you got an extra one. So now you got three guys. And everybody loved this kid, Jalen Wright, dude. Like, holy shit, the reviews on him. Everybody, every one of my guys loves Jalen Wright, like through the roof. Then the Malik Washington kid fits that, you know, they clearly have a hard on to fix the slot because they went and got Malik Washington. They got the Taj Washington kid. Then they got Matthew Sexton and Jaquan Burton, the Eastern Michigan and FAU kid. So they're, and along with Berrios, like they're going to solve that third wide receiver problem somehow or another because they overloaded at that position, not just in the draft, but then in street free agency. And then you've got Berrios on top of that. And then they love their West Coast safeties. So they went and got Patrick Mahomes. I don't know what it is, but they go out. You need a safety out West, young man. You know, it's kind of what happens, you know, in the Dolphin draft room. I don't know what it is, but they Vernon, whatever the third is.
Oh, yeah. Bro McKenzie.
Yeah. And then obviously Holland is, what's it called?
Oregon and also right. Vancouver. He's from Vancouver, right? And then Oregon, and also Jordan Poyer went to Oregon State, even though he spent the last decade, you know, in the NFL and several years in Buffalo. So that is very interesting.
But, yeah, it's like I don't know what the hell this is with the West Coast safety thing, but you know they're West Coast, not East. I don't know what. Maybe it must be those regional scouts over there.
Right. Right.
One of those guys must be a former safety or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but Greer, Allen, and McKenzie, either they're scouting the West or they've got a regional scout that just, you know, I got us a safety, you know, that kind of shit. But to me, it made a lot of sense. And even when you go into the street free agents, they went and added more offensive linemen. They went and added more defensive ends and linebackers. They really attacked. They got a safety in Jordan Colbert. They got another corner in Storm Duck, who obviously has got a great name. So what I like about what they did was they really attacked their deficiencies and they planned ahead with Patrick. So to me, that's why I like what they did. It kind of made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. So if I were to give it a grade, I might go B. Just a solid B. So yeah, I mean, you start off with an edge rusher. So now you are covered if Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb aren't up to snuff to start the season. So you could throw out a starting combination of him and Shaq Barrett, of Chop Robinson and Shaq Barrett, if you need to. But then once you do have Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb available, then what a rotation that is. And look at the packages. We talked about this on Friday, that you can get three and maybe even the four guys on in a package, in a pass rushing package on third down. That will be vital on third down. It'll be absolutely vicious against opposing quarterbacks. So love to see that. We all had edge rusher as a position to target for the Dolphins, even if you have one of the better starting tandems. You can never have enough, and I think Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer really understand that after the way last season ended and how they were signing any veteran that they could off the street to play in Kansas City and play in a playoff game. So then you got your tackle of the future, so you got that covered. A running back that you like, and then those two slot guys, that'll be good competition. Malik Washington.
Washington boys.
Yeah. Two slot Washingtons. I mean, they really found a lot of similarities in them, similar heights.
We, We love our Jalen's. We love our Washington's. Oh, yeah. And we love our West Coast safeties.
That's how
we roll.
Well, we should look into the 2025 draft and make sure there's no safety out of Seattle named Jalen Washington, because that would be the ultimate, just everything, all worlds colliding, coming together. But
all we know as Dolphin fans from now on, and Dolphin media, is we must scout all West Coast safeties from here on out and just have a list of West Coast safeties coming out of the draft, because guaranteed one of them is going to end up on the Alcoin Orange roster. I don't know.
Just one of those things. But, yeah, and I was looking into Malik Washington. I mean, his short area quickness is phenomenal. So, I mean, that's great for a slot receiver. And that's why he was able to get 110 receptions and lead college football at Virginia. So,
they will solve that slot problem this year. Yeah. Because, bro, they attacked it. With two draft picks, two undrafted, and bringing Berrios back. Berrios must be like, shit, dude. They drafted another. They signed another. Like, he must be like, holy crap, dude. I got a lot of competition. Yeah. And I like Malik. I like what I see from him as an athlete. But let me tell you something. And I know people are going to freak out on this, and they'll freak out if it does happen early on. Don't be surprised if Mohamed Kamara is the guy that is impressing earlier than Chop.
Yeah.
I say that. Why? Chop is still not completely he's not even close to a finished product. He's super raw. Well, Kamara, because he's undersized, he was forced to actually learn a lot faster in order to be effective. So you watch him with some of his power moves and his spin moves and the way he uses his technique, he might be a little bit more polished actually than Chop at this point in time, because when you're shorter or you have some kind of deficiency, you have to work that much harder than all the other athletes in order to overcome. So don't be surprised if this Kamara kid is incredibly intriguing, dude, because I don't give a shit what level you're at. 30 and a half sacks, 45 tackles for losses. That's not a joke, dude. That's not a joke at any level. And it's not even Division II. This guy played at a half decent school. Those are some stats. So either you have a knack for the football, or I don't know, he had the luckiest career of his life, but I'm going to go with you got a knack for the football.
Yeah. You don't get those numbers just by accident. You don't get 13 sacks last season by accident. And same school, you talk about competition, the same school that Shaq Barrett came out of. So now you get a couple of Colorado State Rams as edge rushers for the Dolphins. Yeah, he was the other guy I wanted to talk about.
Sacks in a college career.
Yeah.
It is a great career, dude.
Yeah.
It's a great career. That means you were a very effective pass rusher. And yeah. I don't know. If he had 3.5 sacks, how many pressures and hits and hurries did that guy have? Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, a phenomenal burst of motor off the edge, his quickness. I mean, because he also ran his 40 in a great time. So, incredible athleticism. And also, he dipped a little bit more than he was expecting. He was, I think some were saying round 3, he could have been a day 2 pick. So, and I think he definitely viewed himself as that as well, from talking to him on the Zoom after he was selected by the Dolphins in the 5th round. So he came at it. He had a quote where he was like, what was it? He was saying, all 31 other teams, watch out, because I'm very, he said, I'm very excited, but I'm very, very angry that I went when I did. So now he's coming in with the chip on his shoulder. And that's part of this BPA, best player available approach, once you get to this point. So maybe other teams, they were drafting by what position they wanted to target in a certain round and eliminating whoever was the best player at that point in time. Maybe that's how Jalen Wright was there in the fourth round, how Mohammed Kamara was there in that fifth round, and even a prospect like Malik Washington lasts until the sixth round after he led all of college football in receptions. And then you go ahead and draft those guys when maybe other teams, they look at their positions of need and restrict themselves and then bypass these players, and that's how they dip. And then you end up getting the most talented players that remain out there, even though if you're the Dolphins, oh, we use a first-round pick on an edge rusher. Well, if Mo Kamara is the best player once we come around in the fifth round, then go ahead and bring him in, because even if we did already address that position earlier in this draft. Jalen Wright's there, a guy that we love. Even though we do have Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane right now, bring him in, because we know the offense suffers a little bit if one of our guys goes down and we need another guy that fits this offense. So drafting the guys that they targeted, that they like, their best player available at different points in the draft, and guys that fit what they want to do.
Don't forget, Jeff Welt and Daniel Rayom, you could call them 954-966-4646. The consultation is completely free. And remember, we got hurricane season right around the corner. We're about to hit May. It starts in June, goes all the way to November. I hope we never get hit by a storm, but if it does happen, before you call the insurance companies, you need to call Welton Rayon. They have their own adjusters. 954-966-4646. If you had a car accident, bankruptcy, personal injury, call them. 954-966-4646. All right, so I don't think this changes anything with Odell. Even though they added all these guys, I still think that they would add Odell if he wants to sign here at their price. What do you think now with that?
Yeah, I mean, the draft doesn't change anything from that standpoint. Maybe it would have if they went and grabbed, like, if Brian Thomas was the pick at 21 or
something. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and specifically, right, if you target out, you know, a receiver that would play more so on the outside as opposed to slot. So
Odell's not a slot guy. You don't want to put him in the slot. He's a soft player. You know, you need a tough guy in the middle. Yeah. That's why they got the Malik Washington, because he looks like he's got some toughness, like and all that. Or you could play Waddle inside, because he's a tough son of a bitch. And you saw it the first year when they had no choice but to play him in the slot so they could get rid of the ball quickly. So so you're with me on this. Since Odell's more of an outside guy, I think he's still in play.
Right. And even if you did draft an outside guy in the sixth and seventh round like they did the slot guys, then I wouldn't eliminate pursuit either way. So,
that would have been different.
Right. That would be different if you're drafting an outside wide receiver earlier in the draft, and then, okay, now you got your guy there, and you got him at a lot cheaper of a rate than what Odell would cost you. But even then, Odell will have to meet the Dolphins' price, too. If he wants to be here, the Dolphins aren't going to overpay. They're not going to do what the Baltimore Ravens did last year to get him for a year at $15 million, something like that. It's Chris Greer is going to be more prudent with his spending, so don't expect something like that to go down. But would be a very nice addition. And also, once that June 1 money hits, then the Dolphins will be very flush with cash to be able to make whatever move necessary.
Yeah. The Tua deal will come then. All right. What do you got going on the Sun Sentinel so folks can check you out?
Yeah, just wrapping up all this draft coverage. Got everything on all these draft picks, on all the undrafted, the 12 undrafted free agents that have been confirmed. And I think that would be it for now. Because the roster is about 87 players right now. So leaving three available for maybe Odell, maybe, you know, some other rotational pieces. What else we got? Today we have interviews with Zach Sealer and Austin Jackson. So I'll be writing up on what they have to say. Zach Sealer will be interesting. Defensive tackle rotation now without Christian Wilkins. And Austin Jackson, of course, always good to check in on him as well.
All right, good stuff. Follow him on Twitter at @DavidFaronis_. And reach out to our guys at Welton Rayom, 954-966-4646. As always, my brother, thank you. We will catch up on Friday.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you.
You got it. That's our Miami Dolphins report, our Welt and Realm Miami Dolphins report with the one and only David Faronis. We take a break.